Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are in season 5, and I am sitting here with Michael Carey, the owner and founder of Stock and Trade. We are sitting in his absolutely beautiful and quite large show home that is the biggest show home in our area. And I'd like to welcome you, a second time guest of VSpeaks, because he's so interesting and he has so much to tell us as an update. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, I'm sorry I asked you this before, but how big are we sitting in right now?
This building is about 80,000 square feet.
Okay.
About 65,000 square feet is dedicated to showroom, and then we have the cafe, of course.
Yes, the cafe Stock and Brew. Right. Which is by far, hands down, the best, coolest coffee place to go in the area. And I first was exposed to it only a year ago. And when I go into the coffee shop, I maybe see a minimum of 10 people that I know. And I'm like, oh, this is my first time here. Oh, I've been coming here forever. This is the best coffee shop. And your staff is so amazing. Like, you know how they say, like, everything basically falls from the leader and from, you know, the owner and the leader down in the ethos of your organization. When I go to so many different places now that like can't get seemingly great staff to be interested and smile and really give customer service, and then every single person that greets me in Stock and Brew is like from the 1950s of perfection. Tell me how you do that.
Well, just we have a great team, and you know, I'm so fortunate to have so many good leaders, because you're right, people work for people.
Yes.
And you know, it's just so important to make sure that you've got, you know, that kind of instilled, you know, in your company.
Yeah.
But it has been really nice to see the success of it. We didn't intend on having the coffee shop. It was going to be just a place for lease. And then, started getting some visions about what I would like to see it look like. And so it just kind of kept growing and growing, and it's turned into what it is. And then we're about to expand out into the showroom and kind of make it all live plants, and make it kind of a garden experience. And we're expanding the menu because we were just running out of seats. So
yes, I know.
It's a good problem.
I know.
We're going to be taking up some of the showroom space and turning it into some more cafe seating.
Well, and you have the room, so you can afford it, you know, because wow, who has this much space? And tell everybody how long you've been here.
We've been here, it'll be 3 years that we've been open in December.
Oh, it seems longer.
I know.
Does it seem longer to you?
Yes, it seems very long because I've been working on this project for 10 years.
Yes, that's right, for such a long time. But wow, you really had your vision realized and then some with everything that you have going on. So, you know, people can go listen to the first podcast, which, by the way, that interview with you was very, very heartfelt and was like a crowd favorite, by the way. And it was a really great interview. And we're going to talk about so many things right now, but we'll start with the general crux of our first conversation was how you came up with the idea for Harlan's Place, which is the name of your son. And then you had your inaugural gala last October.
Yes,
September. And the second one is coming up on
October 4th.
And the town is abuzz with it, because I've heard people for like the last 2 months saying, am I going? And I'm like, of course I'm going. I was there last year. Were you last there? You know, like, it definitely has like appeal and an interest, right? So you're going to have a lot more people. And you had a lot of people last year.
It was a great turnout last year. And it was like, as soon as it was over, everybody was asking, what's the date of the next one? And we were like, still trying to recover.
We have to recover and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And Harlan had a good time. So if you can just explain sort of, you know, the story about your son. You have two other daughters.
I have a 14-year-old son about to be 15 next month.
Okay.
Wow. And a 12 daughter that's about to be 12. And so, and then Harlan just turned 8 yesterday.
Yes. Happy birthday, Harlan.
Yes, he is. It's Harlan's world. he lives in an amazing world.
He does. He's so cute.
He still goes to Dune Lakes and loves school.
He loves it.
Loves school every day.
So tell everybody about the mission. I actually just read your letter that you have on your website about, you know, the story of Harlan's Place. So if you want to just, I'll let you speak about your own story and how it happened and where you want to see this go, and then the land that you have here dedicated to building the 60 luxury, fully furnished residence for.
Well, I mean, you know, just like you said, how long this vision has been, and this vision has really changed over the last, 10 years that it took us to get going. We ended up getting this land, you know, probably started buying the land about 12 years ago just to put a furniture store. Yeah. And then we acquired a little bit more, and then eventually we bought the whole about 15 acres. And it had a PUD from, you know, back, you know, 20 years ago to put an apartment complex on it. And so that's what we were going to do. And when I was kind of evaluating what Harlan's future looked like and where he would live, you know, after, you know, we're gone, or, you know, when he becomes an adult, that's when, you know, Harlan's Place kind of came to fruition, because I didn't find what I was looking for. Harlan is definitely challenged, and but he is smart, mm-hmm. and he's capable, mm-hmm. and he needs to be pushed. And that's what, you know, I've come to realize for a lot of the special needs young adults, is that they just need to have the motivation, mm-hmm. but more importantly, they got to have the support. Mm-hmm. And even though there's some great collegiate programs where they can go to college and, you know, they have that support system there, even when that's over, there's just a cliff and there's no support. There's no state or federal support that helps. There are some programs to help them get jobs, but you still have to, you know, get to and from the job. You still have to,
you have a support system.
Yes, yeah. And it's so much. And so what I envisioned was this community that is just so full of support, volunteers, people from the community. And then we find them job placements and find them jobs in the community and show what an asset they can be to a business. Right. A business like at the cafe, you know, we have some high school students in their program that work with us, and, you know, they're so proud of their jobs, and, you know, and it's good for everybody else too. Yeah. All the coworkers, you know, just love it because, you know, it's inspiring.
It is inspiring.
And so that's what Harlan's Place is, where they'll be independent in that they'll have their own beautiful apartment. Mm-hmm. They'll have responsibilities just like we have every day.
Right.
But we'll be that support system that often the families can't do, mm-hmm. by finding them jobs, taking them to work, mm-hmm. taking them to their doctor's appointments, right. and things like that.
Well, when I first heard you tell me the story, I was completely blown away and impressed by the fact that you said, because you hadn't found anything like that, that basically was good enough for your son to transition into when he's ready to do that, and then so many other people in our community and just basically everywhere, you decided to take it in your own hands and privatize it and make it exactly like you want, and you don't want state funding because you want to keep the vision pure and whole, which I find unbearably commendable.
And challenging. Yeah.
But such a great vision. So, you know, you're a visionary, you're an entrepreneur, a businessman, like so many different things, but you've proven, you know, so far, time and time, that you can just do it. And I know I had asked you this earlier, but, you know, life can be stressful, and especially like this year, I find like, you know, the heat is on, like, and people are more stressed than they even were last year, which was already challenging.
Yeah.
But I'm asking you to tell everybody, like, how do you handle the amount of things that you do? And I'm talking globally. You have places in Indonesia, do business in Bali and Indonesia and elsewhere globally.
Yeah.
And then you have this. And then, I don't know, I was sitting in the office with you and Veronica, your marketing director, about 5 months ago. And you told me about this unbelievable opportunity that came into your lap on a Friday. And then you owned a 200 square foot building on a Monday or something like that, yeah. Right? Is that, well, you want to, so it's just so many different things. And then when you were showing me in your office, like the renderings digitally that you were doing for hotels in Costa Rica.
Right.
And I mean, the amount, the enormity of what you are working on, I'm besides impressed, want to know, how are you juggling this many things?
Some good teammates, yeah. You know what I mean? It's a lot going on. We have been, my partner in the wholesale company, she started a factory in Indonesia, 12, 13 years ago. And we have been bringing stuff in from Indonesia, Vietnam, India, Italy, and Turkey, all over the world. And a lot of our upholstery was coming from China for many, many years. And right. so we knew we needed to get as much back to the U.S. as possible. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working on a program over really the past 5 years to get more and more production back in the U.S. and had looked at a bunch of factories and just didn't find the right fit, looked at a lot, never found the right thing. And we were sitting in a meeting at 4 o'clock, the finance meeting at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And, our phones were just going off nonstop, or I put it on silent, just slid to the side and was like, I don't know what's going on, but we're trying to get through it. And finally, somebody came in, they're like, hey, did you hear, one of the factories that we had moved a lot of our U.S. production to just announced at 4 o'clock that they were shutting their doors and not opening back up. And, we were devastated. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had, millions of dollars in production with them. And, to make a transition to a factory is a very intensive process. So,
with 100 employees or something?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They, at one time this factory had 300 employees.
Wow. In Mississippi, right? Mm-hmm,
in Mississippi.
So you found out at 4 o'clock on a Friday, and by Monday you owned it, correct?
Pretty much. Okay. There was a lot of paperwork.
Could you just do a little bit of a recap?
Yeah. So, okay. Rebecca and the wholesale partner, we were just devastated, and we didn't know who owned the factory. Mm-hmm. And so we started making phone calls and found out who the owner was, and he was still up there, and we were like, what's going on? And, we said, well, can we meet with you? And he's like, sure. So, it's a 7-hour drive. So we got in the car, drove to Mississippi, and sat down at 7 o'clock Sunday morning, I think. And he brought in some of the main team. Mm-hmm. And for them to show up, mm-hmm. the main team to show up mm-hmm. on a Sunday mm-hmm. Morning after just finding out they lost their job on Friday, for them to show up, and we, kind of meeting some of them for the first time, and they were kind of interviewing us, hearing what our vision was mm-hmm. for the company. And, we kind of sat at a table for about 10 hours and basically wrote an agreement on a napkin, I guess. And, we asked the employees, the leaders, would y'all be willing to work for us? And if so, can you start making phone calls? Mm-hmm. And they started texting everybody, and we had 100% of the employees show up
on Monday,
Monday morning at 7 o'clock.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And, and then can you tell us that plant manufactured for large companies?
Yeah. So there, it manufactures a lot of private label companies, throughout the country that, do upholstery, have their own private labels. So we had those, and then we had, our own private label line. And then we're doing projects for some hotels and stuff. We're doing private label furniture for them. So we're, this just helps us tie in the stuff that we were already doing in Indonesia, and, the private label branding for hotels and things, and now doing it more for upholstery, and then bringing more from China and, other countries back to the U.S. mm-hmm. for production.
That's great. So do you still have the same amount of operations going on out of the country alongside what you have,
It's a slow process because it takes a lot of time to do.
But you're moving in that.
But we are moving that way, definitely.
Okay. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, you can't substitute some things like Indonesia and India. You know, solid mahogany woods and you know, acacia woods and teak and things like that. You just have to pay the tariffs and you know, and keep moving on.
That's a new.
Yeah, that's another whole
that's
story.
That's a whole other story.
It's been a
well, that's pretty great. And then even coffee beans too, right?
Like
where are you sourcing your coffee beans for the stock?
Well, we source them from several different places, but that is kind of the next on the journey is, you know, we're going to start sourcing some of our own coffee
beans.
No, overseas.
Overseas,
but some single source beans and, you know, really curating some, you know, some blends.
Mm-hmm. So this year, because we've talked a couple of times, because it is quite an odd year, I would have to say, in people figuring out, like, who's on first and what's going on, but we all keep on keeping on. Are you encouraged about this year? Like, what do you think in
this
general?
This year, I think this year, we're just kind of want to, like, push through it. You know, our industry is so related to the housing market.
Yeah.
So a slow housing market, you know, it's going to be slow for us.
Yeah.
That's just typical. Fortunately, we have gained significant market shares.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, it's come because of the close of a lot of businesses.
Yes, yes.
You know, there's been a lot of closures. I mean, just like this manufacturing in Mississippi, what gave us opportunity to go into a failing business was because we were already coming with demand. So we were already bringing our demand from, you know, our other out of the country and everything, and we're bringing it with us. If we had not been able to bring demand with us, you know, I'm afraid that all those people would have lost their jobs.
Right.
And then, you know, once they're gone and displaced, then the factory like that will never, you know, get pulled back together.
Right.
So, we didn't buy the company, bought the building and hired the employees because that's all you need.
Right.
I mean, that's what, it's the employees. That's it. Just back to the very opening statement, it's all about, you know, who you had. And so we knew the team. We knew the team that we had been working with already.
Right.
That's who we invested in.
Ah, that's amazing.
So, you know, we've been hiring ever since, been hiring for key positions over there. And we're slowly getting more and more with demand. We've got High Point Market coming up in October, largest market in the world. And we've got contracts as far as in Saudi Arabia and Dubai. We've had a lot from the Middle East wanting to buy U.S. produced goods.
And what do you attribute that to?
A lot of it comes from Trump telling Saudi, telling these countries that they need to invest more in the United States.
So you see it.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
It's just not fast. You know,
right,
that stuff takes time.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that you are seeing it, that actually, relatively speaking, actually is pretty fast. If you can see it and feel it already, you know, because it will gain traction and momentum.
Something we had never seen before. You know, we didn't have people contacting us from Dubai to do private label sofas for hotel projects and stuff.
Well, the space feels so good and it feels so grand and elegant. And it very much does lend itself to the Gatsby inspired evening that you're going to be having.
Yes.
So walk the audience down, well, kind of like last year, tell everybody that you had hired this very cool violinist.
Hip-hop violinist, yeah.
That sort of didn't study under Lindsey Stirling that a lot of people know right now, but took like somewhat of the iteration of what she brought to market, right?
Yeah.
And you've hired Lindsey Stirling before,
no,
too.
No, we've had Josh Vieira.
Oh, you've had
several. Yeah, we've used Josh, yeah. Josh is amazing. He's engaging. And he's going to be here again on October 4th. You know, we have a band going the whole night. We have Josh Vietti that's engaging, doing, you know, the violin request. Then we have the casino that we convert the cafe into, you know, a roaring 20s casino with roulette and craps tables and blackjack. And then this year we reenact the garden scene,
which was beautiful.
And so we've got, you know, a few more new exciting things, some great auction items, you know, to help the cause, and some great stuff.
Wow. So last year, which I thought was like, wow, you just like hit it out of the park last year for a first event, and it was very big. And then I thought it was like perfect. And you said, oh, no, we have a lot of kinks to work out. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess next year will be better because this is like very, very good. But that was pretty, I mean, that's just the type of person you are. You're a doer, you go, 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 and you're just going to like make things happen. It's just like unbelievable. Like you get to touch people so that they, more people can get inspired to be like you. Regarding the fact that it is a fundraiser, that is part of it too, okay? And that's a big part of it. So I want to talk about that. How were you encouraged last year or disappointed at like how that fundraising effort went? After you put so much into it?
Yeah. You know, a lot of that was awareness, mm-hmm. just, you know, getting the community aware of what was happening, because so many people had never even heard of it. Some people had came to the event and didn't even know. They, you know, they had to learn at the event, like, what is this for again?
And, right.
No. So we focused a lot on just awareness last year. And then, you know, we, of course, we still had some developer, you know, permitting stuff that we focused on all this year.
Right.
We got our final development order in hand, I think in June. Mm. So just a couple months ago.
June,
yeah.
Really?
It took us that long to get all the changes done, but we have the design development and order in hand so we can actually start construction. So, you know, now we're at the point that, you know, we've got to figure out, you know, what does that model look like, and really turn it up. And, you know, we need interest rates to drop, of course, to make it, you know, viable. But I think that's coming. You know, and we've had some great help from the SBA Development Council on building us a model, said, you know, it's viable, it's the demand's there, it's viable, mm-hmm. it's needed in the community, it's needed in more than just the community. I mean, people are contacting us from all over the country.
Right. And so you must already have somewhat of a waiting list, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people, and we just, you know, we don't know all the details to give them right now. You know, we're to the point now where we're building out the program, so we've got more details on the actual program. And then, you know, the next thing is just, you know, doing final costing on everything and figuring out what does that look like. Does it, you know, are we going to, is it going to be more of a condominium type, you know, structure? Are we going to be able to do it all as rentals, or, you know, how we're going to structure? So the biggest thing is we've got to get the money to get it out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And banks are, you know, they're not lending right now. So,
yeah, private sector, though, would still have some money, right?
Yeah.
And you'll probably end up getting probably the lion's share, maybe from the private sector as well.
Yeah, that would be best.
That would be best.
Because, I mean, the vision is, you know, it's so easy. And we'll be able to prove how self-sustainable it's going to be. Because with a culinary program built in and, you know, these young adults working, you know, it's really self-sustainable. And that's what the SBA, the Development Council, like those, you have to show the model that you're not going to be dependent upon donations from now on. It is self-sustainable. Mm. And the model is.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I did is I took a business model and backed it into a nonprofit.
Wow.
And so it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to prove that it is a successful, sustainable business, and we can roll them out in more places of the country.
Right.
I would love to see them just flourishing
Multiplied everywhere.
Yeah.
So could you explain a little bit more that I know is just sort of from a layman's overview from what you told me before. There's also going to be like a big pool in there as well. And talk a little bit more about like, and then also that the people that reside there will need to go work, and sort of the
yeah, you know, it is really going to be designed to push. So like everything that we have to do every day to make us who we are, you know, we get up every day, we go to a job, we, you know, we volunteer in the community, we exercise, we, you know, participate in, you know, religious events and, you know, community events and sporting events and things. that's all the things that we all need. And we just want to make them accessible, and not only accessible, but mandatory. You know, like, you know, you're going to give back to the community, mm-hmm. volunteering at, you know, animal shelter, or volunteering here, you know, participating in things like that. Just all of those things that make us, you know, feel like, you know, what the same thing that we want, a sense of accomplishment right. every day.
And belonging.
Yeah, and right? belonging.
And being a vital member of, you know, belonging, basically. I mean, that's what everyone's looking for.
And we've got all of the resources right here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't ask for a better yeah. place. I mean, we've got, you know, the most beautiful place in the country, and we've got all of these resources. We've mm-hmm. got the needs for, you know, some, you know, more support for businesses and stuff. So we're just going to show how, what an asset these individuals can be to yeah. a business.
Yeah, amazing. So what else do we need to tell people? Are there enough tickets? Like, yeah. do they have to hurry up?
Well, we do have to shut it off. Okay. We did open up more tickets. We're going to have a VIP area, which will be up on the balcony.
Mm-hmm. What does that person get up in the balcony?
Yeah, up on the balcony, you get to be able to look out onto yeah. the okay. Onto the dance floor and all the events, and you get a private bar and some poker tables and everything up there.
Okay, and so, how much is that? And tell people how much that will be.
I think $250.
Okay,
sorry, I didn't fresh it up. You're right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the general tickets, you know, which are for down here, third floor, everywhere else. And we are going to have to limit the tickets. So, you know, we have been selling aggressively because we have people waiting.
I can't, I mean, this is like, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you just made it that good.
It was so exciting because, you know, typically, you know, everybody, you know, they're like very casual down here. You know, I mean, it's just a different environment.
Right,
so like,
right.
you know, I was like, I wonder how many people will dress up. People yeah. pulled out the
they
stops.
Did.
They were like, they had such a good time. And I mean, you look at the pictures online and everybody just, I mean, it went and went and went, and everybody was having such a good time. And you know, we eventually were like, we gotta shut it down. Because
yeah. what time did you finally shut it down?
Gosh, we didn't get out here till about 1 a.m. because we had to set the cafe up and everything because we were back open for business at 7 a.m.
Oh, so. So is that that's a Friday night?
Saturday night.
That's yep. good. That's better.
And then Sunday, we have the golf tournament.
Right.
So
at
you
Santa
can
Rosa?
Do, yeah, at Burnt Pine.
Oh, at Burnt Pine.
Burnt Pine.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. So those will be limited to, I believe it's 80 players. So
okay.
they're getting filled up. So,
okay.
And I think we had almost 80 players. Mm-hmm. I think we were sold out last year.
Wow.
Pretty sure
did
we
you,
did.
Do you play golf?
I do not play golf.
Are you going
unfortunately.
To play golf?
I will be there, but
okay.
I will
okay.
not be playing golf.
Yeah, because I can't imagine you having that much time
no,
to
I've,
play golf.
I've said many times, I said, I really
Maybe
would
mini
like
golf.
To learn. That's what, yeah.
Is that what
that's what we went to. We went and played putt-putt with.
Yeah.
That was one of the
oh
last things that Harlan got to play a little putt-putt too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've so the golf events and the next day, so
okay.
At Burnt Pine, yeah. so you can get, you know, tickets for that also.
Single, do you get to buy
singles?
Two,
singles are
available.
Yeah,
okay.
four.
Okay, that's amazing. That's great that they're participating too.
Yeah, it's
right?
Birdies and Doubles graciously made us their sponsor last year, which was their second event, and it was such a success. And mm-hmm. so we partnered with them again this year, and so it's on the website yeah. also,
okay.
the link to Birdies yeah. and Doubles.
What time does it start? Like, can people sleep?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not early. That was the first thing. I want to say 10, but maybe that's when we have to be there. But no, it's not real early. So, because
okay.
That was the first
recover.
Thing everybody was like,
right.
yeah, after the gala, you've got plenty of time to sleep in. And,
okay. And will you have all the old cars, the antique cars out front again?
Yes, we will have the antique car out front.
Okay.
And then we're going to have, you know, the garden scene again
yeah.
and some other added things.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, not to be obvious here, but you know, you took your cues from the Gatsby,
yeah.
the Great Gatsby, and the part when Robert Redford came in with like what hundreds and hundreds of white roses,
tons
right?
Of white flowers. Yeah.
When he was, you know, courting her again, and so that's what you did upstairs, and that ended up being basically the step and repeat, right? Like you got to take your pictures with the flowers.
We had several different photo opportunities. We had the step and repeat down here, and then we had the garden scene up there with all of the white flowers, and I mean all those pictures just turned out beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
and several other opportunities for a photo, because we bring in, you know, we're fortunate enough that we, you know, we get to bring in, you know, a set decorative, you know, furniture and stuff just for this event. And but it's pretty amazing, you know, like stuff that was really art deco, you know, for the time is really back popular.
Yeah,
so it's not too hard.
It's what you're selling to some degree.
Exactly.
Right? So did that event open new business for people to come and patronize the coffee shop and
I think there was a lot of people that just didn't know we were here.
When people say that, I'm like, I'm kind of like, I don't want to be rude because it's immediate. I don't mean it, but I'm like, really? Because it's large.
I think a lot of people, they're just like, you know, they don't ever know what's inside.
Right.
You know,
they, and then they saw.
Yeah. And, you know, so for them to come in and see that and see the coffee shop and everything. So I think it was a good awareness.
Yeah. So you really do sort of, after these 3 years being open, to some degree, you literally have cornered the market, would you say?
What we do really well is we bring in a lot of stuff that just can't be found everywhere else. Like, you know, the stuff that we produce for ourselves, you know, in India and Indonesia and now over in Mississippi, you know, they're one of a kind. So it's not like, you know, you're going to find the same thing down the street.
Right.
Of course, we sell some of, you know, the core products and stuff, but we really try to focus on being unique.
It's unique.
Yeah.
And then when I first met you and you told me that this was your vision and it was yours, it wasn't like somebody else's, and you didn't want to sell what everyone else was selling, and you wanted to have a lot of white furniture. So tell everybody what I already know. and that you were the one that decided this should be how it is.
Yeah, you know, well, our whole design team, you know, we're all very, you know, clean lines, you know, white neutral colors, and then bring, you know, neutral fabrics, and then bring in the pops of color. And when we first came down here, which would have been like 2012, you know, everybody's like, oh, this is just boring. Like, you know, you need tropical, you need palm trees on these sofas, and you know, those cow hides, you send those cow hides back to Birmingham or, you know, Nashville. We don't sell cow hides down here.
Right.
And you know, we were like, no, I mean, this is, you know, this is who we are, and I think we can, you know, sprinkle in, you know, some coastal looks, but it doesn't have to scream coastal.
Right, but that's so impressive too, because you have a lot of different, as an entrepreneur, a businessman, you have like a creative sensibility too. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably all part of a mental illness. All of it.
All of it. Well,
you know, I know what I like. Yeah. And then, you know, the team, we have an incredible team, and we just bounce ideas off each other. When we're looking at stuff, we're able to look at stuff and, you know, somebody sees something that somebody else doesn't see, and we're able to just really move fast on it and make decisions. And, you know, we kind of,
You're nimble because you're not layered in a lot of bureaucracy.
Yeah. That makes it nice.
And that makes it different.
That makes it very nice.
Plausible to complete. At the time when we first met about a year and a half ago, I think that's when it was, you had not yet completely penetrated into the Alice core down there in that area. I'm assuming you have that now.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We were doing projects all over now. And we're, okay. I mean, we definitely have been doing, you know, some Alice Beach projects, mm-hmm. and then we've going now as far as Dallas and doing some coastal stuff in Texas, and we're delivering to Kentucky this week.
Amazing.
And a lot of it is coming from people that are here,
like referring, like their second home or their primary home,
Or they're coming here on vacation. They're like, you know, I want my house wherever.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would be totally remiss, and I'm glad I just thought about it. Tell everybody how many other businesses that you have in the Southeast as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, name them really fast. I'm kidding you, but there's a lot.
We have the Stock and Trade Design companies there in, you know, Nashville, Atlanta, Birmingham, Spanish Fort, Santa Rosa, maybe more to come.
Okay.
And then we have Jess and Gray Livings, which are kind of more casual, coastal. Lake side, we've got...
How many Jess and Grays do you have?
Three. Miramar Beach, Alexander City, which is up near Lake Martin.
Yeah.
And then Spanish Ford also, maybe more to come soon. And then we have the very beginning Encore Home, which is south of Birmingham, which is was my very first store.
Oh.
And then we've got... the wholesale company, which is RW Collective. And so we have a showroom, we have a wholesale showroom up in High Point, North Carolina. And then, you know, we have the factory in Indonesia and factory in Mississippi. And then we work with other partner factories in India and everything. So
when people go to High Point, like they all flock to, and I've known that for like many, many years, so you're there selling your wares?
We have a 25,000 square foot showroom in three-story showroom downtown Main Street in High Point, North Carolina.
So right shortly after the gala, you're going to be doing that?
Yeah, that's what... it's bad timing because it is literally... You have these showrooms, and High Point, North Carolina is only open for about 10 days out of the entire year.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And it's, you know, tens of thousands of people that come all over the world, just like the Saudi Arabia and the Dubai. They come in and they make decisions for either the entire year or for at least the next 6 months until April of the next, you know, when the next show is. And, so you have one chance, and you know, like we also do buying while we're there. So we're there for 10, 12 days, and we're doing buying and selling, and you know, because we're buying for all the retail showrooms, and we're buying for the next 6 months. Because the decisions that you make then, you know, take you almost till, you know, April. And then the same thing for the wholesale company is we got to form these relationships, and we know a lot of it is putting programs together for, you know, some other retail stores and everything, and executing that for, you know, the next 6 months or a year. So it is some long days. We have everybody that's like, oh, I want to go to North Carolina, I want to go to market, and they think that, you know, it's all this buying. And then when we start our days about 5 a.m, then we get home about 1 at night, you know, 1 a.m, then you get about 4 hours of sleep, and you do that for about 10 days straight, and you're like...
Yeah, you've never been more tired in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Standing on your feet and walking for like 10, you know, I've done that before.
I've unloaded trucks.
And that's a lot.
I've been unloading trucks at 2 a.m. out in the middle of the street because we...
So are you the person that's there on the floor, like when people from Saudi come in? Are you like selling, or doing it too?
Yeah, my partner, Rebecca, me are the sales manager of the team. Yeah, it's a pretty small team. I mean, we're there because everybody's, you know, it's very unique. Every situation is unique. So we don't just sell cookie cutter product. No, we don't just say, you know, oh, you can put this sofa on your floor in South Florida or in Oklahoma or whatever. Mm-hmm. Every situation is different. So we might change something on the sofa, the construction of the sofa, the fabrics and things like that. Same thing, the finishes on the woods and so. So every situation is, you know, pretty unique. So it takes a lot of time, and you know, building those relationships sometimes takes years.
Right.
So, but it's exciting.
It's so exciting. And how long have you had that?
We have been doing the wholesale part for about 8 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was even before here.
Yes.
I mean, so you were doing so many other things before this beautiful monster came out of the ground, right?
My my first wholesale showroom was about 700 square feet. And then my first stock and trade was only 1,000 square feet. It was in an old Quiznos sandwich shop building.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Complete failure.
Wow. Oh, complete failure?
Complete failure.
Oh. Well, that might be, is that your only one?
It was a complete failure. So my solution was, if 1,200 square feet fell, then I signed a lease on a 20,000 square foot building.
Oh, yeah. It was too small.
That's what
that
I
was the problem.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's great. Yeah. Well, I can't wait. I'm really excited for the event, but like, I'm so excited to continue to see what you do. And I would have to say, there must be a book in you. Do you think?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know. There's probably a lot to fill it up, but me remembering it all.
Well, you should start writing it down.
Because I have a horrible memory.
You do? I don't know how you can have a horrible memory when you do all that you're doing. Wow. And your wife, is she part of the business too, or is she?
She takes care of those kids.
She just makes the home front work, right?
Yeah, Harlan, you know, she's focused on, you know, giving, you know, them everything that
the good environment, and you are just like, you obviously don't need any sleep, or very little.
Actually, when at the end of my day, when I finally get in bed, when my head hits a pillow, I'm out because I'm just so exhausted.
Because you're in a coma.
Yeah. But then if I wake up, whether it be 4 o'clock in the morning or I'm ready to go my mind starts racing and I can't shut it off.
Well, I think the message of maybe the headline for this podcast is going to be A Beautiful Mind, meaning it like super complimentary rather than derogatory in the movie. Yeah, oh my God. All right, well, everybody. Aren't you impressed? Oh my gosh, this guy is amazing. He's like, always smile. And I'm always like, what? Like, how are you doing all this? Every time we talk, I always am just like impressed and motivated. You're a motivator. Real, really great motivator. Just come see it, everybody. The gala is going to be amazing. This man, Michael, knows how to throw a party. And it's for a great cause, just like one of the most authentic causes that I've seen in a really long time. And Michael, thank you for your time and thank you for your partnership and your friendship. I think the world of you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody. Have a good day. Bye-bye.